Your dreams, ambitions, and priorities are what make you unique. With Associated Bank Private Wealth, we've got you. Our personalized approach to wealth planning puts your goals at the center of your plan. Visit associatedbank.com/private wealth. Member FDIC.
Let's begin this morning with Thought Leader Thursday. Jason Bonet is here, Senior Vice President, Portfolio Manager at Whitnell, which is part of Associated Bank. Jason, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning.
I want to begin by introducing you to our listeners. You're a new thought leader. Tell us about yourself, what you do at Whitnell.
Yeah. So Jason Bonet, I'm a senior vice president. I'm a portfolio manager at Whitnell. I'm really tasked with helping to assist in client portfolio reviews from the investment side, coming up with asset allocations, investment manager selection, and really monitoring kind of the macroeconomic economy so we can make the best investment decisions for our clients.
So that in the real world, that would be choosing the right stocks, the ones that are going to pay the most, right?
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. We always have to keep risk in mind as well. But yeah, trying to find the best returning stocks for the intermediate term for our clients with the most appropriate risk level.
How challenging is that? I mean, in the current environment where we see most stocks up, where we've had this really good market, it's probably pretty easy, but it's not always that way, is it?
No, it's been quite challenging. And I think that's one of the things over my career, we've had to really come up with a cohesive philosophy that helps you to kind of come up with a framework for what is a good stock and will be something that outperforms over time. Mm-hmm. And so one of the reasons I joined the firm was my philosophy was completely aligned with the current chief investment officer, David Peckinpah. And we both just had exactly the same philosophy and how to think about stocks, even down to the level of valuations and things like that. So mm-hmm. having that that framework for success and also being kind of intellectually honest to know when you need to flex for a new world like negative interest rates and sure. things like that.
Yeah, which may be coming. That may be around the
it's
corner.
It's here, yeah. Coming. We'll see what happens.
So let's see how the sausage is made. It's not very often we get to go behind the scenes like this. Talk to us about the process.
Yeah.
You don't have to name specific stocks, but tell us how you go about it.
Right. I think, first and foremost, we're long-term investors. That being said, we have to monitor the overall macro economy. Funny thing, if we don't head into a recession, 90% of the time, markets are positive. And it's only really when we hit a recession that markets go negative, except for that 10% of the time, for instance, 2018, mm-hmm. a year ago this time, that would be a good instance of that. So we focus on the macroeconomic outlook inside of the economy, and we can't predict every single one. But there are companies who have durable moats around their business that enables them to kind of be able to grow regardless of the environment. In a good environment, they can grow more. In a bad environment, they can still outpace the overall market. And we really look for companies which have high cash generating capabilities and can basically grow earnings over 8% per year. Because we think over the long term, the S&P 500 has averaged about 8% per year return. And if we can kind of generate those, we'll outperform the S&P 500. And if you just clip that through, you can see some significant returns for your portfolio over the intermediate term.
How do you do that? I'm guessing you pay really close attention to the earnings reports and the earnings calls, and you kind of do deep dives on these companies, don't you?
That's right. Yeah. So my background has been in equity research and equity portfolio management. So I'm someone who really comes from the bottoms up. We look at themes, and we look at earnings and management teams, and constantly listening to earnings conference calls, speaking with companies, and really doing kind of the proper due diligence. And by doing that, you can find companies that match kind of your investment philosophy, and then really use each quarter really as more of a reiteration of that investment thesis, aligning with the philosophy.
I'm guessing there are some stocks that are probably outside of the world you deal in. I'm thinking of some cheap stocks that might be out there. Probably none of the stocks that are just making their initial public offering, right?
Yeah, no. Fortunately, not. I suppose this year it's been a wild year to watch this year with Uber and Lyft and some of these other the WeWork issues, if you will. But no, we will monitor those because we do think of disruptive market entrance as an opportunity. I mean, I think if you go back a few years ago, Facebook came public, and I remember that being a pretty soiled IPO, and within 6 months after that, it being down materially. But yet they've kind of come up and been the dominant advertising play on the mobile, right? And so you can't write companies off, and you just have to keep monitoring things every, call it, 3 months or so. But we will watch those things. But yeah, typically our portfolio is going to not have a fresh IPO in the mix, if you will.
What has the trade war done to the work you do? I guess it's made your job more challenging, right?
It has and it hasn't. So a lot of the companies we own, again, we're in them for the longer term. So if you don't think that you're going to see a complete degradation of the business model in the intermediate term, the trade war ends up being just noise for a one-year deal. That said, I think it has created a bunch of kind of winners and losers in the intermediate term. And each time that we have positive news on the trade side, you see these stocks move significantly higher. And then each time, there seems to be another tweet of some sort, things kind of come back to earth. So it has been, noise, if nothing else. I do think that ends up being one of the biggest focal points for the macroeconomy as we head into 2020, though. But a lot of our companies, they could be doing better if people were a little bit more excited, but they're doing just fine as they are today.
You mentioned last year at this time when we saw stocks fall at the end of the year. Do you see anything currently happening in the undercurrent that we might see that happen again in December?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a complicated market to look at right now, right? I mean, if you look at it, you have tariffs, you have trade wars, you have political, you have, repo rate adjustments, you have federal, the Fed rate cuts, you have stimulus going on, you have negative yields in Europe, Brexit's happening. So yeah, all of those things are, potential, issues, if you will. But I think as we look into next year, we actually think we're starting to level out. And from a fundamental perspective, assuming we get some positive, or not more negative impact on the trade war, we think that we could actually see upside into 2020 from a fundamentals perspective.
Let's talk a little bit about your background and the transition from where you were dealing with the large cap, the big corporate stuff, transitioning to Whitnell, where your focus is a little different. Talk to us about what that's been like.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. So I joined Whitnell back in June, and it's been eye-opening, right? My prior life, I was a portfolio manager on large institutional mutual funds. And, to be honest, you had one mandate, and it was find really good stocks within your mandate and have them outperform their benchmark. And you did that against a 1% fee or something like that. So you typically tried to get 2 to 3% above your S&P 500 or whatever benchmark that is. And since joining Whitnell, whether we choose to invest in internal equities or we go somewhere else, there's no incremental fee. So one of the things I've had as an aha moment for me is there's no internal cost for individual stocks that we manage. So if we can provide outperformance within our individual stocks for our clients, then we can gain significant excess performance for our clients for zero fees. It used to be transaction costs, but not even that is an issue anymore on commissions. So that's the first thing. Secondarily, I'll sheepishly say this, but you cared about your turnover in your portfolio, but most active portfolios run turnover between 40 to 80% of the portfolio per year. That can add a bunch of significant tax consequences. And I'm not going to speak for everyone, but I don't like to pay a penny more to the government if I don't have to in taxes. And what you find is you have some of these clients who have, very, very long-term high gains in their portfolio, and we have the ability to kind of, position around that, if you will. So I think it becomes much more tax efficient as well. And then I have to tell you the story about, what we dealt with recently. Being on the high net worth side, you have really individual clients with just, individual issues. And recently we had an executive who was looking to leave his company. And, fortunately over time, he built up a lot of stock in the company and basically wanted to somehow diversify that, but not pay the capital gains that he had made, fortunately, over his time and tenure at the firm. And the government allows you to do a qualified replacement where you can sell that share to the employee stock ownership plan, but you can have to buy effectively U.S.-based stocks or bonds. basically reinvesting back in the United States. But the caveat is, if you sell any of those ever, then you materialize whatever capital gains had been there. So our client, healthy young 60-year-old guy, who was hoping to live till 30 plus years, hopefully. But his goal was to have this go through until death, where if you pass away with this, you get a step up in the cost basis and you never pay any gains, and you can just give it to the heirs on the account. So we were tasked with coming up with investments for the next 30 years.
Wow.
Which was really intellectually stimulating, analysis. But at the same time, it made me scratch my head about what would we have done 30 years ago, right? In 1989, there was no Amazon, there was no right. Facebook, there was no Google. So it's a completely different phenomenon. And so we had we were able to look at our investments philosophy and feel like a lot of these names are names that are going to be around 30 years from now that will hopefully have continued to outperform their market because of the unique ability they have. So it ended up being a fun exercise, hopefully very value-added for our client, but something that I never would have come across on the institutional side.
Yeah, and in 30 years, we can maybe go back and check the math on it and check to see whether your crystal ball works.
Yeah, let's pencil that in if
that'll
you
want. That'll be fun. You mentioned the fee part of this, and we've seen anybody who watches business news on a regular basis, we see all of these companies cutting their fees, cutting the cost of doing business, and nothing's free, right? I mean, isn't that the lesson we learn? And why should we pay attention to perhaps some of the things that might be, I don't want to say the dark side of that business, but some things people may not be aware of, investors may not be aware of?
Yeah, there's been a number of new articles coming out and new businesses changing, right? I mean, obviously, you had Robinhood, which was kind of the Trojan horse, if you will, for the no-fee accounts. We've also seen Schwab coming out eliminating the brokerage fees. And recently, you're starting to see ETFs, which used to be still fairly negligible fees, be completely free. It does create a conflict at some point, because what ends up happening is they have to make their money one way or the other, right? I mean, you have a cost of capital in some form or fashion. And if you can't do it the proper way, then you have to find an alternative. And so what we found with Robinhood was they were allowing no trade commissions, no low fee management, and they were selling all the orders just down the street here to Citadel. And so they basically took it, and they were the market makers. And it actually was kind of beneficial for the clients there, because Citadel has massive vision in the markets and can go through and probably get a tighter spread, if you will, to what you'd buy over a traditional exchange. But you're really kind of limiting yourself. And a lot of people didn't even know that they never were touching the actual markets. They were going through a large hedge fund or another option. Conversely, there are other things which, I feel like more and more, you mentioned the IPOs earlier, but people are trying to grow and get their tentacles around you, right? So get you in today with a free thing. And yet maybe years from now, all of a sudden start saying, hey, you're locked in, you have all these products with us, now you're stuck, now let's start monetizing you, right? So I think there are potential risks down the line.
You'll bait and switch, as it were.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Right. So those are the things. I mean, I think in terms of potential issues, I'm someone who believes, I'm someone who prefers value, right? I always would like to get more for less. But at the same time, there is a part of it that says you pay what you get. Yeah, or you get what you pay for, if you will.
Well, Jason, it's good meeting you and having a conversation with you. If people are listening and they want to have a one-on-one, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so feel free to contact me via my email. It's jbohnet@whitnell.com, or just call me direct at 630-575-2328.
Thank you for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Pleased to be here. Thank you.
Jason Bonet, Senior Vice President, Portfolio Manager at Whitnell, which is part of Associated Bank. Jason's our thought leader today. Our conversations happen every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. You can find more of them over at associatedbank.com/thought leadership, where you can meet our thought leaders as well.